شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome back everyone. Alhamdulillah, we are going through the month of Ramadan. We are around a third of this month of Ramadan. We are third through this month as well. I want to continue with a verse I talked about in the previous video, which was in Surah Al-A'raf. And we talked about how sometimes people go to one extreme, which is that they make things haram upon themselves, which Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never forbade us. But you also have another extreme where people go and they make things halal, permissible, which are clearly haram in the Sharia. And it's the pattern of Quran, divine revelation, that it always seeks to balance things out. So in the next verse, Allah says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهْرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ وَالْإِثْمَ وَالْبَغْيَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَأَنْ تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. That Allah says in this verse, that say, my Lord has prohibited only the shameful things, fawahish, what is apparent from them and what is hidden. So shameful things which the nature of a human being does not like. But there are certain things that are obvious that are distasteful to our nature. And then he says, well, ithma wal baghya. What is ithm? Ithm covers all forms of sins which fall upon someone personally. So there are sins that are of a personal nature. And baghi are sins or rights or violations of rights which concern others. So Allah is telling us that one should not only make sure that they don't disobey Allah and sin themselves, but make sure they don't violate the rights of other people. This is fundamental to our Sharia, this idea of human dignity and human rights as well. And then Allah mentions the most important sin, وَأَن تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا, that you associate partners with Allah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never gave you any right to do that. You have no authority, sultan, you have no authority to do that. Allah is reminding us that authority, sovereignty, ultimately belongs to Him, and we submit to Him. So Muslims have to be really very careful that they don't go extreme in their obedience to Allah, where they prohibit things for themselves, which Allah never prohibited. At the same time, they don't neglect those things which Allah has made haram for them. This is why in the Quran or in the Salah, in the Namaz, when we pray in every rak'ah, we pray in Surah Al-Fatiha, اِحْدِنَا السِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ, this middle path, right, which is avoiding both extremes. What's also interesting is Allah says, وَأَن تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, that you say about Allah what you do not know. This is a very stern warning for all of us, that nowadays we live in a culture where people say things about religion, about Allah and His Prophet, and they don't even know what the source is for that, whether it's correct or not. Everybody says, oh, this is haram. And when you ask them, well, where did you get that from? Oh, everybody knows it's haram. Well, where did you get that from? And they don't know. So we have to be careful that we don't go and say things about the Prophet or Allah without any knowledge. The Prophet warned us, فَلْيَتَبَوَّ مَقْعَدَهُ فِي النَّارِ, that if a person says something about Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then their maq'ad, their place of abode, is the fire. So this is a stern warning for us as well. So our religion is of balance. In the previous video, we talked about food, we talked about dress, and we talked about maintaining balance in all of this as well. And if you look at the sunnah of the Prophet and the Tabi'een and companions, you'll find that they had perfect moderation in these matters as well. So if food is easily available, within reach, then you should eat that. If clothes are available and a certain type of clothes within reach, then you should wear those type of clothing as well. But say you live in a place where you have a bit more food and food's a bit more abundant, clothing's a bit more better quality, then there's nothing wrong in wearing that as well. One should not think that to themselves that, oh, I need to throw this food away because it's somehow superior quality, or I should throw this clothing away because it's somehow better quality and it's not befitting. No, if Allah has blessed us with gifts, then we should show gratitude by eating what Allah has given to us, the best of food, the best of clothing as well. So this is the important thing. Another important thing worth bearing in mind as well is that being wealthy does not mean that you are successful. Right? This is a warning. Having wealth, having opulence, having power does not necessarily mean that you are successful. This is a Protestant ethic that people sometimes fall into. This is within Christianity, you have certain traditions that believe that material prosperity is a sign that God has favored you. This is not true in Islam. This world is a test for us. Some people, they are tested with wealth, and Allah sees how they use that wealth for his pleasure. And some people are tested with struggles, and Allah sees how they remain patient upon those struggles as well. So this is the balance of our religion. And I want to share something that Mufti Shafi Saab mentions as well, that we have this problem of excess, ghulu, excessiveness, extremism in religion, and people start inventing their own practices. They start inventing their own constraints upon themselves, and this actually is damaging to the religion, right? It turns people away from our faith when people become extreme in their religion and the way they talk about Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is fallacy of shouting and screaming and making everything haram and reminding people how evil and bad they are. That isn't really the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? One should reflect upon how Allah in the Quran, when He ordered Musa to give da'wah, to call Pharaoh to the truth, Allah said, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّن, speak to him in a gentle way. And Allah tells us the illah, the reason for that, لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى, maybe he'll remember, maybe he'll turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But of course, on the other side, one should be careful that they do not make things that are haram, clearly haram. And, you know, if we study our books of fiqh properly, we'll know that the ulama have given us usul, principles of when we know something is haram. And we should be careful that we don't make things which are impermissible permissible as well. Our religion is a very rich tradition. There's a lot of scholarly discussion about many things. But the beauty of Islam for us here is that we should be grateful for all the gifts that we have, remain patient upon any trials and tribulations that we have fallen into. At the same time, we try and follow moderation. Islam does not make enjoying your life haram, right? Some people think that if you want to enjoy your life, it's somehow haram. No, you can enjoy your life, but as long as you do it in a way that is pleasing to your Creator and you stay away from those things which have been prohibited for you. So this is the message from the Quran. This is in Surah Al-A'raf, very, very important verse in the Quran which talks about moderation. I ask Allah to grant us all the ability to make the most of the month of Ramadan. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.